Shavuos Avrechim, Perek Tes, page Kuf Aleph. Kashahi Avodas HaChassidus. The Avoda of Chassidus is very, very difficult. The outer trimmings are not hard at all, but the Avoda is very difficult. Kashahi Avodas HaChassidus. Umereishis Hiskalusa, and from the beginning of its being revealed in the world, from the time that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh appeared in the world and the Derech of Chassidus started, Mereishis Hiskalusa Shamanu Mitzadikim Kedoshim Drisha L'Sachbulais. Whereas the earlier Tzadikim revealed to us great and awesome teachings, very, very, very amazing Torahs, from Shimei Chai, Nari HaKadosh, all the tzaddikim that Megalotas, very remarkable teachings. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh began, and the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov continued to show practical ways, strategies of how to bring down Lamaise into our everyday life these great and exalted teachings. This, the main chiddush of the Torah of Baal Shem Tov, is not so much in the ideas, but in the application of the ideas. So that's what it means. Shamanu mitzadikim, from the beginning, we heard from the tzadikim, ukadoshim drisha l'sachbulais, that they sought different tachbulais, different strategies. Shetzvichim tachbulais la'avodas kodesh. That it's necessary to seek different tachbulais in order to be an oived Hashem in that way of avodas chassidus. K'mesha aveinu le'el b'perikayim and k'deshenu b'al shem tov u'min amor v'shemesh v'kimat kol sifrei chassidus medav mizeh. K'mat all of the sifrei chassidus speak about tachbulais, of how to apply these tyrus. The gambeze loyal pisgas siyam varum kedushas tachbulais avadosam on a mahiv magia. And the Rebbe says, of course, we're not even on such a level. We're not claiming that we could try to reach the great heights of these tzaddikim. We don't dare to even try and to think that we could come to such a place with all the tachbulais. Avol hareishis v'hayisayid la tachbulais l'arkeinu hamaschilim hu. However, the beginning and the foundation of all strategies in avodas Hashem. Avol hareishis v'hayisayid la tachbulais l'arkeinu hamaschilim hu. Shneida, the beginning for people like us who are trying to start. Shneida sharak mishin is kadesh ad shagam gufay nasa kodesh uneshama hu chatich achas ve'etzem echad. This is the beginning. We must know that only a person who works on being mekadesh, on being mekadesh his body, to be mekadesh the guf, to sanctify the body, until the body itself is not a kodesh and neshama, till the body itself becomes holy and is and becomes sensitive to ruchnius, becomes like a piece of neshama. Ad kedekach huchatich achas ve'etzemecha, so that the guf and the neshama. This he says is for beginners. So that the guf and the neshama are both seeking the same thing. Neshama rak derech neshama loy vesulay. It's all neshama, and the person's life, the body itself is transformed in such a way that it also is a manifestation of the soul, and nothing else vesulay. Mashenkin on the bale guf. Rebale guf. Kevin shahaguf evarim evarim hu. The guf is composed, the body is composed of many limbs, many parts. L'chol eiver teva v'derech miyuchad. And each part of the body has its own way, has its own derech. L'chein gam b'avodaseinu drachim b'yonim shaynim lanu. Therefore, in our avodas Hashem, since the entire body hasn't been transformed into neshama, that it is like one with the neshama. Therefore, because of this, the guf, which itself is divided into so many different devarim, and every limb and every organ has its own way. So therefore, in the avoda, in our beginning, to try to change ourselves, there are many different drachim, and there are many different inyanim. In the avoda of doing something, or even in the avoda of speaking or thinking, we feel that the mitzvah is everything, which means that the Torah is telling us, do this and do that. Daber v'chashoyev kach v'kach v'day. Say this, say these words, think these thoughts, v'day. And that's all there is. Masha'en kena chasidus. But the tachlis of chasidus is not that we should be divided, and that we should be, that our lives should be in such a way where we try. I mean, it's better than, of course, better than not doing anything, where we are struggling with each and every limb, as if we feel that Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, use your arm, put the tefillin on your arm, use your spine, you know, to get out of bed and to try to get to shul, try to work on your eyes, that your eyes should see the right thing, try to think of this, and you hear Hashem commanding you and telling your mouth to say the words of davening. All of that, the Rebbe says, is how balei guf experience ruchnius. That's how physical people are still bound by the separations between the limbs and the organs, who are still bound to physical things. That's how they hear. That's how they experience avodas Hashem. Each and every part of us is struggling in its own avoda. The eyes, to see the right things, the ears to listen in the right way, the mouth to say the right things, the hands and the feet, everything is in its own little war, its own little struggle to try to become better and to try to serve Hashem Yisbarach. And that's v'day, that's what we see is the best we could do. That's what we're trying to do, which is itself, of course, a chashuv thing. But the tachlis of chassidus is masha'en kena chassidus. She'ikari hi esayish lakadish. The tachlis of chassidus is not that a person should just feel Hashem standing over and yelling at his arm to put on tefillin, and yelling at his eyes to look at the right thing, and yelling at his feet to take him to shul and to yeshiva and so on. The tachlis of chassidus, she'ikari hi esayish lakadish. The tachlis and the ikar of chassidus is to be makadish the entire person. Lakadish is lakadish, that the person should be entirely transformed, that the body itself works together with the neshama in such a way, with the greatest einig, the greatest delight, and the greatest simch, the greatest joy, is avodas Hashem. Not that there's a constant disagreement between the guf and the neshama, but the ikar is ha'ish lakadish, that the person should become entirely holy. Therefore, as long as the chumrius is so strong, as long as physical matter and our physical lives have such a hold over us, kol oid lo paga chumrius. The teva haguf lo namas mimeno, and the nature of the body hasn't yet melted away. Gam havoida chalokim chalokim. All of our avodas Hashem, in the meantime, is chalokim chalokim. It's all piecework. Tivius adrochem beivori hagufla. We have to think, there are all different types of, since we have all different types of eivorim, all different parts of our body, as long as we're bound to the physical world, that means that we're working with the tivius, with the nature and the pathways and the ways of the eivori haguf, of the body. And it's almost impossible for a person to be mekadesh himself. It's almost impossible to reach that ultimate tachlis of kedusha unless a person looks at and understands the teva, the nature of each separate part of his being, and to learn how to be mishtavil initially, what to do, what can be done with each and every part of ourselves, since that's how we relate to the world. So we have to learn initially to be mizbainin in the proteus, in the specific teva of each part of our lives, and to try to make an effort in that particular area. Kamer hi areishis vayisayid. Asher leinu v'abeneinu ladaz. Uva haynu ba'gufnis v'tiv l'haschil. Therefore we see that even though in the Chassidus Svarim the tachlis and the ikka was this total complete transformation of the guf into neshama, still the Svarim HaKadoshim teach us all types of methods how to begin with the guf, with the gufanius, and with this teva, with this physical teva, how to begin to serve Hashem Yisbarach. Was chela gadol mikavda v'kushiyasa yachleif. When a person works piece by piece all these different parts of his life, then he will see that the work, the avaida of the total transformation becomes a lot easier. Because then the different parts of the body and the different parts of his physical life become lighter. They're not as strong and as heavy. I have hope in Hashem. Shekasher ba'ifim kezeh na'avoid. That if we begin our avodas with Hashem in such a way, oz kemat shlo yimotzei mi shlo yikach chelek hagun v'kedushas achasidus. If we really work on it, then the kemat won't be found any person who won't at least experience a significant chelek in the kedusha and the holiness that chassidus is seeking for each and every one of us. Liya chassid lefiyarka, and each person can become on his level a chassid. Ki bemes lomaz etiksha avodas chassidus. So the truth is, why is Avodas HaChassidus so hard? And why is it so difficult for a Jew to be Mekadosh himself? Halo Yisrael, Heim Am Gufam Kedoshim. The Jewish people, their very bodies, are Bemes HaKadosh HaHoli. Ki Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha. The Torah defines us and describes us in such a way. Kiam Kodesh Atol Hashem Elokecha, that we were created, that the Jewish people, and each and every Jew, is a be'etzem Kodesh V'tar. It's his very being, it's his nature. Hein Yetzahara Kashi Yeshlanu. It's true that the Yetzahara is very strong. Avakamish akosha hu But as strong as it is, the koichos of Yetzahara Ravu, and as great as the strength of the Yetzahara is, next page. Loi kemidas gvurosai haraba asher yirabai ha'ish bemis nimsabai. The Rebbe is saying is that the Yetzahara is overrated. It's overrated. It's not as strong as it seems. And part of it is, you know, since we're children, most of the talks that we heard probably growing up in yeshivas and some of all the Yetzirah, and even though everybody means well, and it's all for the purpose of dealing with the Yetzirah and overcoming the Yetzirah, but there's nothing that seems to have as strong a presence in a child's life as the Yetzirah. I've even heard parents tell little children about the Yetzirah, and how they're doing this because the Yetzirah. By the time the kid's bar mitzvah, he's already lost the battle, because the Yetzirah is this invincible monster, this huge monster in his life. And everything that goes wrong in life, it's just the Yetzirah. It's how the like to, you know, the devil made me do it. As if, God forbid, there's some sort of a overpowering, invincible, independent koyach that causes me to do bizarre things, and that I have no koyach to be able to contend with this. So the Rebbe says, we understand it, that unfortunately we're not hearing that much about how holy we are since we're children, and how great we are, and how powerful the neshama is, and how the Yetzirah doesn't have in any way the kaiches to stand up to even the slightest revelation of Kedushas Yisrael, of the Kedusha of a Jew. And the Yetzirah is a galech, is a joke, when it comes to the slightest bit of Kedushas Yisrael being revealed. And we don't know the gevura of Kedushas Yisrael, the unbelievable strength of Kedushas Yisrael. So, Mimela, a person only hears about the Yetzirah and how strong the Yetzirah is. He doesn't really know anything about what it means, the Kedusha of a Jew, the greatness of a Jew. And he's set for defeat, on that path of defeat. Ureina gam rei is divya medrash rabbe bereshis. Om rabbi abba yetza hazeh daimim listim shof of cholosh shahayyosh v'parashas drachim. In the Medrash, Rabbi Abba compares the Yetzirah to a thug, a gangster, who b'emes is a weakling, who's a nobody. But he looks like he's tough. Shayyoshev a Prashas Drachim, and this gangster is sitting by the Prashas Drachim, he's sitting by the crossroads. Kol man da over hu oma hav madaloch. And this thief threatens each person that comes there, that passes by. He says, give me what you have. In other words, he comes at a mug, every passerby. Give me what you have. Have madalach. And the Olam gives this gangster, and he's very much slich, otherwise he wouldn't be there all the time. He's very much slich. Of our pikeach echad, there was one clever person who went there. V'ra'ash ein by techelis ligzalei klum, and he saw that really, this thief, this guy, this gangster, he says b'emes, he has really no kayach and no hope. He has no real way to force anything from him. Hischil mekatesai. So this pikeach began to crush him, began to fight back. He says, "Kach kama daris ibed yetzahara." So the Medrash says, the world was going in such a way where the evil one, the Yetzirah, was sitting in the world, and was terrorizing the entire world, and the whole world felt that the Yetzer Hara was overpowering and invincible. This thug, this gangster, could not possibly be contented with. Kevin Sha'amad Avraham Avinu, Avraham Shein Bar Techeles, Hischel Mekatesai, Ayin Shom. Until Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu stood up, and he stood up, and he took on the Yetzer Hara. and his chumakatas, and he began to fight with it. He began to fight with the Yetzer instead of being impressed, intimidated, and frightened by the Yetzer. But until Avraham Avinu, Chazal are telling us that until Avraham Avinu, kama doiris ibeg Yetzer, how many generations the Yetzer was able to just blow away. And who's the Yetzer Hara? Rabbi Abba is saying it's nothing. It's a nothing. Mamish nothing, a hoodlum. But he has an intimidating appearance, and he looks like he's invincible. And it's like that bechlal in the world. I was just lahavdil, but there's a marshal. I was reading an article about that they found some documents, or not tapes, documents now, that right after what had happened, the Maisa in Elul by 9/11, when that Maisa happened with the Twin Towers, right after that happened, so Gaddafi and other thugs and gangsters from the Arab world were calling up chaverim that they had in the governments in Egypt and in Jordan, because Egypt and Jordan are supposed to be on good terms with America. So Gaddafi, they have a tape of him that he was almost in tears. He was calling up somebody in Egypt to please speak to the Americans that they shouldn't hurt us. Nothing should happen here. We didn't do it. All of these warlords in Iran and in Iraq, all of these gangsters, these thugs, the second that they hear any weakness, in the voice of America, it's the same thing when it comes to the Ishmaelim and Eretz Yisrael. Anytime they detect a weakness and they see that we're intimidated by their tough talk, what's Syria? What's the malchus of Syria? America just has to fly over and go to the whole Syria, give a little bit of a thing like to a fly. And the same thing could happen by the Harabais and in Gaza. The same thing could happen. But there's such a pachad in the world. There's such a pachad. And the Medrash is saying, Kamaduris ibe Yetzahara, that the Yetzahara works in such a way where it looks very strong, and it speaks as if it has, as if it's powerful and it's strong. See what happened 2 weeks ago, when in Eretz Yisrael, when the Chevra decided that it was enough trusting the Yishmaelim to take care of the Reitzchim of the ones who murdered the Jew that was sitting in the prison in Yericho, right? It was in Yericho, right? So then they said, "Must speak." And they come out with their hands up. They come up with their hands up, and then the Israelis got them undressed on the side of the road. The toughest terrorists in the whole world, standing there with their hands up and their gadgets, because you'll excuse me. It's garnish. It's nothing. And the Yetzer Hara operates in the same way. So that's how the Yetzer Hara operates. With all the diburim, or all the lashainas. All the lashainas. I once told you that when I was a kid, we went to school in Jamaica, the yeshivas in Jamaica, which was already, by that time, had already changed into a very tough neighborhood. And there were really very rough guys there. And All of us are scared to walk and to go anywhere. And there was this place we used to go play ball. And it was always scary because it was always scary because there were guys there that were very, very, they didn't like us. And even if they weren't playing, the second we went to the place, and then they would go on the court. And you know, it was like, I'm sure there are others here that have experienced this. I don't know if these things are still going on, but it could be we've already lost all of these courts. But in those days, we thought we could still maybe go. So there was this one guy in the yeshiva. His name was Finkelstein. He was a big guy, and he wasn't like he was like the first, you know, JDL guy in that whole neighborhood, and he wasn't afraid of anything. He couldn't learn much, but he was in every other respect he was very good. and there were different maestros that we had. You know, when we went with him, we felt good. But when he went with Finkelstein to play ball, but one time we were going to play stickball. You remember that? Do they still play that? There was a game stickball. So we had a couple of guys going to play stickball. And there was some chaver that was sitting there. Right away we just wanted to go back home, you know, to mommy. And they were sitting around there, and we weren't going to play. There wasn't anything to do, because we were hoping they wouldn't be there. But they were there, and that was the only place to play. And we had, you know, these Jews went with their, you know, our sticks and our balls and our clean sneakers and everything. And we just wanted, you know, forget it, let's just go. And Finkelstein said, get over here, we're playing. Oh, I said, oh no. Okay, so, and we felt like embarrassed, and it was this whole thing. So, but Finkelstein was there, so then we had a little bit of chizik. So we got up to play, and like five of these guys came over. They were much bigger than us, came over, and they said, like in their own way of talking, that this is our place. So Finkelstein took out of his pocket a knife like this big, and he said, it was your place. And we just don't get us involved in your inyonim, man. Like, we thought this was going to be a major rumble. He said, this was your place. And he said also the strong Lashonis, get out of here. And you should see the Derech Eretz that they had, these guys. Like, yes, sir, 100% sir. Have a good afternoon, good Shabbos, a good Yontif. You wouldn't believe, like, the Hachnar, there was no more bad Lashonis. Everything was, hey, okay, you know what's going on. Just a little friendly talk, you know. And I this once, we're going with him. They used to say, now I'm sure they don't say the same, but they say, you got a dime. Remember, that was another way of saying giving away your money, right? You got a dime. Meant you better cough up whatever you have. So we're walking there, Finkelstein, and this guy says, you got a dime? And Finkelstein says, for two nickels. Remember that lesson? We always talk about it. I got a dime for two nickels. I got a dime. And the guy says, okay. That's how the Yetzer Hara is. It talks very, very big talk, very stark. It looks like he owns you. And it's not your place to be an Eved Hashem. And your place is to be forever a loser. And that's how the world was. That's what Rabbi Abba is saying in the Medrash. That the Yetzer Hara is Yoshev like a gangster. The Prashas Drachim. Kol man da'ovar hu ama hav man da'aloch. That's the story of our lives. Kol man da'ovar hu ama hav man da'aloch. Anytime that we see ourselves moving forward in life, we meet up with that scary Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara says, hav man da'aloch. Give me whatever you have. So we start taking off all of our avodah. Here's these mitzvahs, here's these mitzvahs, here's the davening, here's the learning, here's the kedusha seinayim, kedusha sadiba, and we start giving everything over to the Yetzer, because we feel that it's not shaykh to stand up to such a thing. Until that part of a person that's a pikeach is able to realize that, and that was Avraham Avinu, ad she'omad Avraham Avinu. For Hashem by Techelis and Hischa Makatisai, Avraham Avinu said, okay, let's go. He rolls up his sleeves. He says, come on. Because he realized, he saw that there's a lot of bravado with the Yetzer Hara. There's a lot of big talk. But really, Be'emes ain't by Techeles. It has no hope. In other words, it has no chance to win. The Yetzer Hara has no chance. Ain't by Techeles. It has no chance to defeat the Kedusha of a Jew. It can't stand up to the Kedusha of a Jew. So Rebbe explains that the Yetzer Hara is like this, like listim, like these thieves. Shebemes chalashu, that in truth is very weak. The geizel es kulam, and the reason that the Yetzer Hara is so successful in stealing from everybody. Is rakum neishahem afachadem imenu. It's only because they're afraid of the Yetzer Hara. The doimim, and it appears to them shegibohu. They think that the Yetzer Hara is a great warrior. That he's very, very, very strong and very powerful. And again, this has a lot to do with the things that we've read and things that we've heard from the time that we've come into the world. About the Yetzer Hara and how overrated the Yetzer Hara is, but how underrated the Kedushas Yisrael is. And that's why so much of the Svarim that are being taught to children are the Svarim that a lot of the teachers in the Rebbeim are familiar with, are talking only about the Yetzer Hara. And the point is to try to help develop a Ben Yisrael that he should be a Yirei Shamayim, he should be God fearing. But oftentimes, what the effect is that he grows up to be afraid of the Yetzer Hara. And afraid doesn't mean that he's afraid to ever give in to the Yetzer Hara. But he's afraid of the Yetzer Hara in such a way that he's afraid to lift a hand to fight the Yetzer Hara. The opposite of what was intended by all of those Svarim. And another talk, Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Hara. And the children grow up feeling that it's simply this invincible monster. There's nothing they can do about it. And the second that the kid gives in to the Yetzer Hara, he feels that that's it. I'm owned by the Yetzer Hara. I can't possibly get out of this. I can't possibly fight against such a powerful force. And because we're afraid, and the Daimim Shagibohu, Avla Pikeach. But the pikeach, the wise person, the clever person. And that's why we have to use all kinds of clever strategies, initially in Avodas Hashem, till we realize that the Yetzer Hara is mamish, is nothing. And how ma'at, or a little bit of light, is able to drive away so much chayshach. And the whole Mitzrayim is nothing. When you sell Yetzer and Yad Ramah, then we realize. That's why it says in the Svarim HaKadoshim, "Vayosha Hashem b'yom ahu es Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim." When was the Yeshua? The Yeshua, as everybody knows, of Pesach wasn't really at the beginning of Pesach. It was only by Shvi'i Shel Pesach. And it says, "Vayar Mitzrayim Mesal Sfas Hayom." Right? When we saw the Egyptians die by Yamsuf, so that was Be'emes. The completion of Yitzhak Mitzrayim by Kriyas Yamsu by Shvi'i Shel Pesach. So when it says that we saw the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians dying on Sfas Hayam by the shore of the Yamsu, so the Rebbe Rabbeinu from Pshischa said that at that moment it dawned on us that the Koyach of the Sitra Achra is dead, meaning that we realize that it's nothing, it's just a zombie, it doesn't mean anything. That whole thing that was enslaving us for all those years, for 210 years that we were enslaved by Mitzrayim, and Chazal say that nobody ever escaped from Mitzrayim. It was impossible to get out from Mitzrayim. That whole tzura of reality died. It wasn't just the Egyptians that died. The main thing was our perception of the Egyptians that died. The perception of the Egyptian of Ra as being an invincible enemy, died al Sfas Hayam. And the Rebbe Bunim says that ever since then, each and every Yid knows deeper than himself. There's a way that he could know deeper than himself that the Koyach Hara is not what it pretends to be. It's not the way that it seems. And it doesn't have any ability to stand up before a Jew. Although Pikeach Raya Shaloi Gibahu, the Pikeach sees and understands that the Yetzer is not a Gibah. Umakatasai Mishabre. And he's able to break, to crush and to break the Yetzer. He's not intimidated by the Yetzer. And if the Yetzer gets in a patch, so the person is able to respond and is able to come back with confidence and with force, instead of cowering in a corner and throwing away and giving up everything, like to the mogger that's standing on the precious drachim. Give me everything that you have. How many times it happens to us that a person is working on all types of things in the Zavadis Hashem, on having a good seder and learning, and being able to daven tefillah in the right way, and how many times that a person is nichshal, he has some sort of a nichshal, he fails in something with the Yetzirah, he fails, in other words, he loses a skirmish with the Yetzirah. And instead of the person strengthening himself and getting up the next day and starting again and being even stronger, instead he stands like a leimachal, like a little baby crying, and the Yetzirah says, Ahav mada Allah, give me all your learning, all your davening, give me everything. So really it was just one inyan that you lost. It was one little skirmish, one little battle that you lost, but the result of that is that now you feel powerless, you feel depressed, and then you're not anymore going to yeshiva, you're not anymore Isaac and Kedusha, you're not anymore working on your midas, you're not working because you lost that one little thing. And instead of strengthening yourself, you hear the Yetzer is saying to you, Hav Mada Allah, give me everything. That's what Rabbi Abba is saying in the Medrash. Hav Mada Allah, give me everything. So a person doesn't say for two nickels. You know, a person doesn't take out, you know, Finkelstein's big knife and say, get out of here. But instead the person says, yes, you're right, I don't belong here, this is not my place. You don't belong in the Bismedrish, a person like, you're right, I don't belong here. You don't believe it, you don't belong in a mikveh, a person like you with all your things, you're right, I don't belong here. And then in one minute, so you see so many times such extreme changes that especially Bachram go through. Such extreme changes, all different. You know, you see Bachram from one month to the next, you don't know who, what, where, coming and going. You don't recognize that a Bacha has something went wrong. And as a result of that, it's Ois Yeshiva and it's Avoida and everything is finished. Hav Mada Allah. The Yetzirah says, give me everything. Instead of the person saying, okay, this moment, I had a bad moment, you got me off guard, you got in a good smack, okay, Shkoyach, you know, Kalakavod, you got in a good patch, but you're not going to tell me what to do, and I'm not giving you anything. Other Rabbi, a person's mischazik, a person strengthens himself. That's why it says in the Sfarim Kedoshim that the main way to see whether you're an Eved Hashem is right after your nichshol with the Yetzer. What happens to you after you lose to the Yetzer? One of those battles. What happens to you? Do you get up and fight back and blow them away? Or do you just lie there in self-pity and say, oh, it's all for fun. Here I go again. I'm lost. So the world was going a certain way until Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu saw the Ein Bei Techelis. He saw that the other side, the Strach, the Yitzhar, really, really doesn't have anything. and he began to fight back and to break it. V'agav'aymir ma'anu b'zeh shah melamdim u'mechanchim. And that's what the Rebbe now tells us, Lamaisa. He says, I want to remind all the melamdim and mechanchim, the teachers, the rebbeim, hamadabrim divrei musrim talmideim, who are giving musr to their students. Imit sairim heim divrei mesayet sahara legiba kolkach oyam v'koychel kolkach rav v'noira, that if these rebbeim are describing and depicting the Yetzirah as being such a great and powerful presence in their lives, the Gibor Kolkach Oyem, the Koichel Kolkach Rav V'Noira, the Rebbe says that these Melamdim, these teachers in Rebbeim, who are portraying the Yetzirah as being such a tremendous Gibor, whose power is great and awesome, Lo Tov Heim Oisim Bazeh. This is not good. What they're doing is not good. Lo toiv hem oisim azeh. And with that goes 98% of the talks I heard growing up. Lo toiv hem oisim azeh. And you're not doing the child a favor. And you're not helping him to become a better Jew. Lo toiv hem oisim azeh. Ki kach teva ha'ish, the Rebbe says. What's the nature of a person? When you describe to a person, somebody who is very, very, very powerful, very strong, the person's hands become weak, and his entire body weakens. He doesn't have a chance. So he doesn't. He becomes frightened, intimidated, and he loses all of his strength. And from that perspective, Mitzrayim is inescapable. Nobody ever got out of Mitzrayim. And the person feels. You see by Mordechai and Haman that nobody ever thought to stand up to Haman. There was only one, only Mordechai. But when a person thinks that it's not possible, and when he hears time after time, he hears these descriptions. The children grow up hearing this from their mechanchim, from their rebbeim. So yodim is rashleis. Chalgufim is reifer bli levli is amitz negdei. He has no strength and courage. He loses all of his courage. He has no more courage to stand up to the Yetzirah. Vaz be'emes ha'isha she negdei mezgabe negdei. And then you take it. Are totally defeated. Then you're totally destroyed. You have no chance. It's not because the enemy is so strong. It's only because you're so weak. It's because you've been so weakened because of these descriptions and because of all the hype and the propaganda that to begin with you lost even before you started. There's nothing to talk about. You're finished before the fight even began. There's no fight. So it's not because of the gevura of the enemy. It's because of the chulsha. It's because of your own weakness. And when the teachers and the mechanchim, the rebbeim, when they're describing the Yetzirah as being so strong and having such great and awesome power, as what happens, the result of that is Misragal Gufam Shalatamidim. The bodies of the students of the Talmidim from the beginning. Was Misragal Gufam Shalatamidim Hisrashel Ulihimas Befanov. To be weak and to melt in the presence of the Yetzirah. And to say I'm all yours. Do with me as you please, as you want. I can't. There's nothing I can do with the Yetzer Hara. But they hear, and children are so impressionable. And this is what they're hearing, time after time. So the person is a misragel to hear such things, and the children, the talmidim, melt. Every time the Yetzer Hara pops its head up in their lives, the children are so frightened that they of all the associations that they have and what they think of the Yetzer Hara. Remember when my children were little, there was this tape. I used to get them these tapes, these children's tapes, and there's some crazy person made a tape for little children. It was songs, and every single song on the tape, and I threw it out after I heard it once, every single song on the tape was about how, it was for little kids, about how the fighting with the Yetzer Hara and how I have to do tshuva, So like, what is it? It's like for 7-year-old kids. What kind of tshuva? What's he talking about? Why are you supposed to just sing like, you know, sing some happy, you know, thing about Shabbos or something? I don't know. Some nice little, you know, that little for little kids. It's all about. And then this Michigan was saying that he had like, he gave little schmoozing every now and then, you know, like in some dumb language of a, you know, how that some of these tapes that they talk. And like, you know, for children, but the whole thing was, kiddies, there's a big Yetzer Hara out there, and you don't stand a chance. You better do tshuva. For little kids, that was basically the message he was trying to convey. Mamash and Meshigna, and they had it in all the stores, you know, and had this. I don't know how many kids were listening to that. I heard it. I just put it on, I'm walking around, I hear, I say, what is that? Everything, the Yetzer Hara, this Yetzer Hara, that, and here. For little children. And he makes them like these like songs, all about the Yetzer Hara. And tshuva for little children. So, a child grows up feeling, God forbid, that in his bed, enough kid hears in the yeshiva, and comes home, and his father puts on a tape for him. So the whole day long he's losing, and then he comes home to the place where finally he feels, here I'm a little bit of a bahoch, you know, here it's my turf. And then his father puts on a tape that says, you're a loser over here too. You have no control over your life. There's this big thing called the Yetzer Hara, and it's just a matter of time. You might think that you're happy, and you might think that you're in control, but just you wait. The Yetzer Hara lurks behind every corner in your life, and the Yetzer Hara is waiting to destroy you. So, what does a child do with all of that? So you don't see how afraid they are, and you think that you're making them you're helping them have Yiras Shamayim. You're not helping them be Yiras Shamayim. They become afraid of the Yetzer Hara, not afraid of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And the second that they lose to the Yetzer Hara, they see themselves as being totally defeated. Because from what they understand and what they've heard, this monster is much stronger than they are. So once the monster begins to take over your life, there's no point in fighting back. Or you make some feeble effort to fight back. But the Yetzer Hara thing then says, Hav Mada'aloch, give me everything that you have. And the child gives up everything, gives up his innocence, gives up his whole tmimus as a child. Everything is given up. So the Rebbe says, and what happens is, since the children become used to this, ad shebe'emes nasa gibor oyd yoysim k'rimidus gerosa. So you know how these thugs and hoodlums work when they see that you're weak. Then they become much stronger. When they see that you're weak, when they see that you're giving in, then they become much stronger. And And you see the mashal of how all of that works with the Ummah Sa'ilam, with the nations of the world, and all these Muhammads. You know, the Muhammads going on right now in Iraq, and you have in America all these people that all the lashanis are lashanis of defeat, and we can't. And the whole side of Ra becomes strengthened by that. So you could have this Reitzeach, you could have Bin Laden, who's hiding someplace in some cave somewhere in Afghanistan. He could still put out some new cassettes and CDs. And then he could still say such things, and the whole world is frightened by the terrorists, and the whole world is frightened by the Reitzchem. And if we wouldn't have to listen to these voices of weakness in America and England and other places, and in Eretz Yisrael and all these other places where there's still a shemitz of some people that think there's something normal in the world, would get together and would say, and all of Europe would say and stand up and say to the Muslims, go back to where you came from, get out of here, go make your jihad in Mecca and in Damascus, leave us alone, get out of here, and throw all these thugs out of the country, and not worry about public relations and political correctness and all of this. So the Inyan would be finished. It would be finished. But the second that there's a weakness, so then the kaychas of Tumah are mezgaber. That's how it works. And all the kaychas of Ra are mezgaber. And they could talk with even more strength. So you see that even those few people, those few politicians that have the right idea, but they always, in every talk that they give about how, in every talk about how we have to continue to fight against terrorism, they introduce it by saying, we have no problem, of course, with Islam as a religion of peace. You ever hear these things? That it's a religion of peace, and that we know, of course, that the vast majority, the average good Muslim in the world is seeking peace and wants to build a better world. Everyone knows that that's not true. The average Muslim in the world wants to kill every single infidel and take over the whole world. That's the average Muslim in the world. There are a couple of Yaitzim in HaKlal, but then they get killed by the other ones. But the average Muslim in the world is not a peace-loving, neither is the Quran, neither is Islam. Not from its beginning and not now. And every time that they hear these Lashonos, they're mezgaber. That's why we now see, for instance, in our times, the most invincible kach in the entire world was Soviet Russia, right? Was the Soviet Union. I'm only using this to understand this, Mishalom. The strongest kach in the whole world was the Soviet Union. And every one of us thought that this Malchus of Russia was going to be until Mashiach. And only Mashiach would be able to defeat such a thing. It's not Shaykh. It's just too much. It's too big, and it has so many. You know, it has all the chassidim, and there's nothing to do about it. And then it's so interesting because how history is, and to understand it in Avodas Hashem. So when President Reagan died a little while ago, I don't even know when he was. Is he outside already? It's supposed to be soon. So when he died. So all of those people who, I remember how they spoke against him and they used to make fun of him, then they were all saying haspadim about how he stood up to the Soviet Union, he stood up to communism. Then they were all making their haspadim. But those who remember what it was, B'shas Maisa, how they used to make fun of him, and they used to say, we can't talk to him, we can't, you have to be nice, you have to talk nice. And when he said that it's an empire, the evil empire, he called Russia the evil empire, so all the politically correct and gentle-natured souls in their multi-million dollar homes in suburbia all wincing and saying, I can't believe he said that. How could you talk that way? The Russians, how could you call them evil? How could you say such a thing? It's not. They're going to hurt us now. They're going to hurt us. And the whole Malchus of Russia fell. It was a gelechta. Mamish, like what the Medrash describes. That one person came and said, "Ah, this is ridiculous. I must speak. It's enough already. It's enough." And it's going to be the same thing when it comes to in history when they look back on this president, except that he's being held back so much by all of these weak people. They say, "Must speak. It's enough." So the Rebbe is saying that what happens to these Talmidim is that when they because they're so weak, then Taka the Yetzar becomes strong. Then it becomes much stronger than it originally was, because every time the Yetzar sees a weakness in a Jew and sees that you're afraid, so then the Yetzar becomes empowered by that. If a person loses to the Yetzar, he says, "What am I supposed to do? What can I do? I can't possibly defeat the Yetzar. I can't possibly win. It's much stronger than me." And even when these children grow up, they don't fight against any taiva. When they have a taiva, they just give in to the taiva. They have a desire, they give in to the desire. I can't stand up to a desire. I can't stand up to a taiva. I can't fight against the taiva. The taiva is stronger than me. And every single advertisement, and every single television show, and every single thing that the children are growing up in America hearing and seeing is saying, You can't possibly stand up to this taiva. You can't stand up to this taiva. This taiva is invincible. That's all the children are hearing. And then they turn around and they see their own mothers are dressing like the ladies on the television. And they don't understand, and they see that there's no way to overcome any of these things. Look, my parents are nice people and they've lost. They've surrendered. They look at their parents like walking like, you know, like with a white flag. As the mother stands there in a little jogging suit, and they see the mother standing with a white flag. "I give up." So are the children. It's a foul. So what do you want from these kids? From the beginning, when they grow up in a home of total losers. So then they also there's no a taiva. There's nothing to do with a taiva except to surrender to the taiva. Surrender as long as the Shem Shabbos Bali taiva. But you surrender to the taiva. They see their parents walking with flags, white flags. So here, this is the cumulative effect of hearing 1,000 talks about the Yetzara. Then the people that they love and respect most in the world are a bunch of chickens waving a white flag. You see that they see all the kalim of tumah in the house, that their parents brought themselves into the house. It means that the parents have also discovered the truth that you can't overcome this taiva, you just have to give in to it. And the children lift up their white flags very early these days. And then at some point, then mommy and daddy sit the kid down, so the kid's giving in to all of his taivas. Mommy and daddy give in, he also gives in. And then it's like starting to get too serious. You know, he's giving in like too much to the taivas. So then like daddy sits him down and says, listen, little Chrissy, whatever you called him, his name. Jared. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't call you that. But I'm just trying to pick out a Goyish name from my head. But he said, listen here, I also have a Goyish name. My parents were afraid that someone would think that I'm Jewish, you know, so they were careful to give all of us. In those days they gave everybody a Goyish name. So then the father sits down and says, "Listen here, whatever the kid's name is, you know, Scotty. You can't do this. What you're doing with that girlfriend, you can't do that." And the kid looks at his father like he's mad as space. Like, why? How did you decide this was the Ad Kan? Like, what happened? Like, until now I was raised with a white flag and surrendering. And you and mommy are running around to every single taiva in the world. I never saw you stand up. So I'm just going in my parents' footsteps. And then I have my little girlfriend. You didn't seem to mind me having a little girlfriend. You invite her over. You know, she's like part of the family. How many times I've heard these things? Like part of the family, the little girlfriend, some 16-year-old kid with his 14-year-old girlfriend. It's like part of the family. And you call up, you're friends with her parents, everything is nice. And now, just when it's starting to get interesting, then you tell me that you got to be strong. What do you, listen, son, there's the Yetzirah, you know, you got to fight off the Yetzirah. Kid like this doesn't get it. All of a sudden, you want me to, like, call in the troops? Until now, my whole life is just surrendering. And you seem to be, like, behind every defeat. And then the parents say, yeah, you know, but that's like, you know, that what you're doing until now, just, you know, it's okay, it's cute, it's nice, it's fun. You know, after all, we're an American, it's all right. But, like, you're starting to get, you know, it's starting to get crazy. The kids just don't go for it. Because there's no way to defeat the monster. By that time, it's so big. And they never, ever, ever lived with people who they saw themselves as being the heroic types. They're growing up in non-heroic homes. Every single type, every single thing that's new, that's expensive, and that the mother has a taiva, the father has a taiva, kaift, we buy. Any place we want to go to, the gate, we go to. Anything, everything. You like that outfit? Kaifen. You like this? Buy, get. You want this food? Get it. It's a half hour after Pesach. Pizza. Pizza. Because the parents tell the kids, listen, it was rough and we're really proud of you. You were able to hold back that taiva for pizza for a whole week. You didn't have pizza. So everybody takes out their white flags and they run over to Central Avenue and they stand in line at the pizza shop. And here we are. Give us our pizza. Halitainina. It's an anti-heroic world that they're growing up in. Anti-heroic. Say, like, those that grew up in the last generation in America, they saw Jews where the whole world was Machal Shabbos, and everybody was doing all kinds of crazy things, and that there were these Yidden that they wouldn't give in. So they grew up in homes that were heroic, and you see that their children and grandchildren are big Choshev Yidden. Because they saw it, that they had heroic parents, and that they had parents that weren't afraid of the Yitzhar, and were able to talk back to the Yitzhar. But now everybody wears a yarmulke, and everything is Shem Shabbos, but it's all like, it's all, you know, losers. And all chasam. I mean, it's like there's nothing heroic about it. Because to be from now doesn't require any heroism. You don't have to be heroic to be Shem Shabbos. It used to be. To be kosher, it used to be. I went the one time a year. I go with my wife. I go to help. We go for Pesach to Bar Park. We do a big shopping. Do you see the products that you have for Pesach? When we were kids, and that's not so long ago, there was like a couple of rokeach, a couple of seasons, and gandik. They have kosher Pesach pizza. Nine gebrachs.
I think we have to make a mezonos on.
Yeah. Yeah. So every time. So it's nice. What are you saying? Why we shouldn't have? It's not nice that we have all these good foods. It's nice, but there's nothing heroic anymore about being a Jew. You used to have to be like a valiant, heroic, courageous person to be a Jew. Now you just have to be like mediocre or less, and it's not a big deal to eat kosher now. That's out of town in some small shtetl where there are Jews. They're usually much more heroic Jews, and they laugh at people like us. And if they're smart, they'll never send their kids to New York. They'll keep them far away from New York, where we have a billion products and a billion restaurants. Because there, the kids grow up knowing that to be a Jew, I have to be a giver. I have to be strong. And the parents tell the kids, you could do it. Over here, you can't do it, honey. Just take whatever they have on the shelf. It's fine. That's what we're living through. It's already late. And those encouraging words. With everybody, a good young.